This evening, I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit, so that by faith in Christ, we may always approach you with boldness and confidence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have access to God with boldness and confidence through faith in Christ. This is how today's reading ends. It's a key part of the good news that we proclaim in the Christian church. And we'll start here today. First of all, let's get the picture here. Think of a child that knows that it's loved, that knows deeper than it can say or understand that its mother, its father, care for it. Think of a child that knows it's loved and the way that this child can approach its parents. If they make a mistake, they know that they can admit it to mum, they can admit it to dad. They know that if they have a task given to them, which they're not able to do, that they can ask for help. They know that if they'd like something, something they want, something that they need, they can ask their mum, they can ask their dad. They know that they might not always get exactly what they ask for, but they do know that what they do get will come from the hands of a loving father, of a loving mother. A child that knows that it's loved will approach mum, will approach dad with boldness, with confidence. Not with fear, not with presumption, with boldness and with confidence. This is how it is for us and God too, of course. Through faith in Christ, we can approach God with boldness and confidence. And indeed, as St. Paul says in Romans, we are free by the Spirit to call out to God as Abba, Father. Now, those of you who are parents here, you know that you want your children to approach you with boldness and confidence. You want your children to know that they are loved by you, that they can ask for help, that they can admit when they've made mistakes, that they can ask you for what they need, for what they want. You know, as parents, this is a value to you. We know this in the human community, how much more with God. Now, likewise, human parents also know that when they see their children showing care and love for one another, this brings them joy. When they see their children forgiving each other, helping each other in need, encouraging each other in what is good, this brings joy to a father's heart, to a mother's heart. And indeed, you could also say that this reflects on the wisdom of the parents. If in a family, the children can work together well, live in harmony, forgive each other and love each other, it shows the wisdom of mum and dad in the flesh, you could say. That's also how it is for us in the church. As children of God, we have many brothers and sisters given to us by our Heavenly Father. Indeed, part of the good news that we proclaim as Christian people is that God has given us Christian brothers and sisters from every tribe and nation and language. More than this, we proclaim that the unity that we have as Christian people shows the wisdom of God in the flesh. It shows the wisdom of God at work, not only that we can see each other or that the world can see, but it shows the wisdom of God, you could say, on a cosmic scale, so that although God brings us into the church as individuals, or that he gives us the gift of faith as individuals, and although he knows us better than we know ourselves, he joins us into his church, the household of faith, where God the Father shines in his glory as we live in the unity we have in Christ. Now, these are the themes we'll be hearing about today. So let's listen to the text. In former generations, St. Paul writes, this mystery, and here St. Paul is talking about the mystery that was revealed to him, was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Let's pause here on the word mystery. Mystery is not the same as secret. A secret, when it's revealed, is no longer a secret. It's just a known fact. So, for example, the PIN number of my credit card is a secret. I don't tell it to people. If I revealed it to you from the pulpit, you'd know it. You could use my card. No longer a secret. However, a mystery is something that remains wonderful, that remains mysterious in its revelation. Now, St. Paul here is talking about a particular sort of mystery. Listen, this is what he's saying it is. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. There's the God of the Jews, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the mystery is that this God is also the God of the Gentiles. Now, this is good news in a world where ethnic differences can be the cause of suspicion and hatred and even violence. God is not a God of tribal hostilities, but a God who brings together people from every tribe, nation, and language, brings them together in a true and lasting unity that comes about in a strange way. We could think, well, God's just setting up a new tribe after all, a new religious tribe. And the problem with tribalism is, well, those in my tribe are right, those outside my tribe are wrong. We're good, they're bad, we're just, they're wicked. But the paradox is that we come into God's kingdom not by admitting our own righteousness, but by each one of us individually admitting our sinfulness, admitting our need, admitting that we make bad mistakes. It's a unity that comes about strangely through forgiveness, the promise of forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, and a common hope in Christ. This is not tribalism. This is not self-justification. But this is identity given as a gift from God. An identity which does not lead us to judge others, but to intercede for them. An identity which brings us together with people from all different backgrounds. Now, St. Paul goes on, "Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power." Now, on the one hand, what St. Paul says here could sound quite arrogant. After all, he's saying that he himself has received a mystery that was not revealed to people in the past. Who does this guy think he is, we could say? Wouldn't this tempt him to pride? And in fact, it seems to me, St. Paul is aware of the temptation to pride that could come through the revelation of the mystery to him. So, repeatedly in his writings, he makes clear that this revelation came to him sheerly as a gift, not something that he could possibly have earned. What's more, he makes it clear that his status as an apostle to the Gentiles has landed him in prison. And so Paul is writing from prison. Imagine an ambassador of a powerful country with an important message to proclaim, then being locked up. This does not happen in our world. Ambassadors of powerful countries are protected. They are received with pomp and circumstance. But St. Paul, the ambassador of God, the ambassador of reconciliation with the Father, proclaims his gospel even from prison, a place in human terms of humiliation, not a place of pride. Even though he is the ambassador, he is the ambassador in chains. And he knows that God's work and God's power is stronger than human strength, and that God works with a different sort of wisdom. On top of this, Paul clearly also acknowledges his own unworthiness for the role. In fact, this is what St. Paul goes on to say. "Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. St. Paul was called by God as someone most unworthy, someone in fact who had been a persecutor of the church. He was called to be a proclaimer of the revelation of the mystery of the Gentiles together with the Jews forming one household of faith. And this unity brought about through the cross of Christ as a reconciliation worked by the Father and human beings in Christ Jesus, so that the varied people of the world find unity and hope in Him. Now, note, by the way, that St. Paul says this. Listen again. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. We can easily skip over these words, but think about what Paul is actually saying here. First of all, he's saying that the church reveals God's glory. You want to see what God is like, what God's wisdom is like, St. Paul is saying, look at the church. And look at the church, especially as you see people of different nations, different ethnicities and languages coming together in one faith. So first of all, the church is the revealer of the wisdom of God, St. Paul is saying. Notice also that he's saying it's a revealer not simply to the human community, but to the heavenly community. St. Paul is saying that in the church, God shows the powers and authorities in heavenly places who he is. We know that in this world, parents have joy when their children get on together, when they have a unity. That is a credit to the parents and their wisdom. How much more with God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shows the church his household, and he shows the church his household to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Look, here is who I am. I am a God who wills to create lasting community built on forgiveness, built on mercy, and growing in love. This is how St. Paul closes our text for today. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he's carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This brings us back to the beginning of the sermon. In Christ Jesus, we have boldness and confidence in our relationship with God. We human beings make many mistakes. I've been using the example of parenthood in this sermon, and anyone who's been a parent knows that they make with their own children terrible mistakes which are not easy to rectify. If our life in God's household was based on our ability to avoid making mistakes, there would be no hope for us. But with Christ Jesus, there is mercy and forgiveness. It's found in Christ Jesus, and it's found in Christ Jesus for all people, for Jews and for Gentiles. And because we have a hope in Christ Jesus, then we have a unity given to us as a gift from God. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is who we are, God's children, members of the household of God, people who approach the Father with boldness and confidence through faith in Christ. Let's let God be God. Let's let God be who he is, a loving heavenly Father. Let's let him give us in Christ the gift of forgiveness. And let's let him give us the gift of a large family with people from every background. And let's together understand that as a church, we show forth the wisdom of God, not just in this world, but even to the heavenly places. This is where God has placed us. This is what God is doing through us. May God's glory always be done among us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.